go ahead and get into our passage. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord for his blessing and for his guidance for us in this wicked time with everything going on like it is right now. If we didn't have him, I don't know whose philosophy I would take to carry me through, but I'm pretty sure it would be the wrong one. Father, I thank you for your mercy, your grace. In some ways, it feels kind of different to me, but I thank you for your power. I thank you for revealing your power to us. I thank you for your majesty and revealing to us that your majesty is all that we need to look to. By your help and your strength, teach us how to seek your honor. Teach us how to understand what is important. Whereas there are many things that will seem important to our lives, but we need you, Lord. As we go through this passage tonight, talking about your kingdom rule, you will rule. You will reign. We want to be a part of it. Teach us how to order our steps according to your word. Teach us how to think your thoughts according to your word. Don't let us be the kind of people that we can come and spend time in your word and then go out and act as if you are defeated. So Lord, if you will, strengthen us with might and power. Grant us your ability to see what you would have us to see and to lead as you would have us to lead in this world, so that the words of our mouth and the meditations that come straight from our heart will be acceptable to you. Be our Lord, our strength, and our mighty Redeemer. Amen, amen, and even so, amen. If you all remember, on Saturday, we talked about the kingdom of God. And in talking about the kingdom of God, we laid out a beautiful picture. I don't think it was beautiful because I laid it out. I just think it's beautiful because it's true. Bible says that there is a kingdom of God. And we know that there's a kingdom of God based upon how do we fit into the kingdom of God? Because the kingdom of God is going to still rule whether anyone else participates in it from a position of power or not. Have you thought about it? Our title was on Saturday, "The Kingdom of God Will Rule on Earth as in Heaven. Will you?" I often talk about people that go to games, whether it's basketball, football, baseball. They have certain teams that they want to win. And if the team that they want to win is losing, and they're in the same city, let's say if it's the Atlanta Falcons or if it's the Charlotte Hornets or LA Lakers, whatever team it is, if those seats in the arena or the stadium or field and that team that the majority of the people want to win is losing, they'll play music. And one of the things that I remember them playing at basketball games is a tune that goes, da 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 da, 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 They say, hey, da 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 da, da 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 da, hey. And they would chant things, and they would tell the people that they were the additional man. If it's on the basketball court, the fifth man. Or if it was a football team, that they would call it the 12th man or the 13th. I'm not sure. I think it's the 12th man on the field. But what it would boil down to is they say those people would help them win. And I believe it. But yet they don't get hit. They don't score a basket or anything. But there are people that's on the team, doctors, coaches, different ones that have a part to play in it. Much more so than some sitting on the bench. When that team wins, those people really do win. They get something, they benefit from it. But the people on the side, that the spectators, they pay for their hot dog. They pay for their hamburger. They pay for their beer or whatever it is that they're getting. And they feel that they're on the team because they are spectators. When it comes to God's word and God's will and his way, are we spectators? Are we clapping our hands when somebody maybe is raised from the dead or from the brink of death? Are we clapping our hands and singing with joy when someone is healed from a situation or somebody's runaway child come back home or somebody has some victory on a job where they were being mistreated and God gave them the victory, or somebody maybe had cancer or some kind of disease or been in a wreck and God delivers? Do we cheer and we happy? But when it comes to our situation, are we really walking with God? Are we cursing everybody out? Cursing, cussing, obscenities, whatever you want to call it. Do we find other ways to deal with the issues of this world? When there are problems going on in our government, in our homes, and in the schools or whatever, are we sitting back acquiescing and saying, go get them, Christians, go get them. You know, you're a preacher, you're a pastor, you're somebody that deals with politics, and you know what the Bible says, and you're doing your part, and I'm cheering. I'm complaining with you. But I'll never open my mouth and allow somebody to criticize me. I'll never stand for the truth and allow something to happen and I might lose my job. I'll never say anything that will cause somebody to be upset with me and my family. Well, the 68th Psalm talks about God's kingdom ruling in earth as in heaven. Are you going to rule with him or just be a spectator? Now, we've already covered most of this psalm. We covered some on last Thursday, and then we really went into it on Saturday. So I'm going to just pick up from the 20th verse and take us to the end of our chapter tonight. Is that okay? Thank you so much. I heard someone in the background say yes, because I was about to say yes for you all. Okay, 20th verse, Psalm 68. The kingdom of God will rule on earth as in heaven, will you? Listen to this. He is our God. He is our God. You know what? I hate when I read something and I see more words than is there. That is true, he is our God, but there's that in there. So let me read that. It's in italics, so sometimes just letting you know, I might skip over an italics word. So it really would be, our God is the God of salvation. But since I'm reading from this version and it's there for your understanding, I'm going to read it. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on the instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Blessed ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God has commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Isn't that nice? Blessed be God. Baruch Elohim. Bless God. What do we get from this passage? What would be going on in this particular passage, especially when you look at it, a psalm or a psalm of David? We already covered a lot of things, and we've put the emphasis on God doing the fighting. But here is a man that has participated in God's kingdom rule. Here is a man that has saw victory that God has given, not only against, when you look at the people that he fought against. All of these wars that you're dealing with are dealing with the gods of other nations. And in some times, in some places, it would be more profoundly shown than others. But remember, David's first war, what did he say? You big old-headed, arrogant piece of mess. You big, uncircumcised lip Philistine. You coming after me, and you've gotten arrogant in your heart and your soul because you're a big boy. And you feel confident in your God. If you pick your Bible up and you say, I don't see it say that. But listen to what David said. I come to you in the name of the living God. I know where the fight is. This is kingdom fighting. And my God is going to rule on earth as it is in the heaven. And I'm with him. and I represent him. So as we move to that 20th verse where we started, this man have had these victories with God. He says, he that is our God is the God of salvation. Understand what he's saying. He that is our God, no matter what gods you all have, no matter what you have going on in your mind, you have submitted yourselves to someone that in this world rules for you, whether it's Baal, Molech, Asherah, whether it's the God, the dog head on a man in Egypt, whatever it is, I'm telling you where I'm coming from. I'm telling you about my God. My God that rules the kingdom, that has his kingdom, and he rules on earth as in heaven. I'm with him. He that is our God is the God of our salvation. Let me take it from David and bring it to us really quickly, okay? Can we see that with stuff going on, that God is the God of our salvation? When we're mistreated, when we are hurt, when we have fallen short, is our God the God of our salvation? His kingdom rules. Are you going to be a part of it? There was a man one time in the Bible, I believe his name is Asa, and God is the God that rules the kingdom of heaven and earth. He rules over sickness. He rules over death. One time a man in John chapter 5 understood that and said, you just say the word, master. You don't have to go see my servant. Just say the word. And it'll be done, because I know what authority is. When I say something, I tell this one go, he gets up and do it. I tell that one to come, he gets up and come. This King Asa got disease in his feet. And he went outside of his God that rules the earth through his kingdom power and saw other people to heal him. Guess what? He died. Had a disease in his foot. Actually, it said feet. So maybe it was both of them. I'm going to say both because feet is plural. And he died. Want to say it like my grandbaby said, because it's so funny. In her little young age, she said, him died. Yes. How many of us have lost benefits? You see, because when it was given to him, this is why you're dying. Because you did this, or when it was told, it lets us know that there are times when God is ruling on in his kingdom that we miss out on things because we don't go to him. David says here, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong the issues of life. We looked at that, and we showed that not only had David been delivered before, and if I didn't show it like I could have, we know that David had said one time, he makes my feet like hinds feet. He taught my hands out of war. We realized God allowed David to act crazy one time, and he was delivered from being hurt by the Philistine. We knew that God allowed him to move away from the javelin. But we also realized, because there are spiritual battles that goes on between the gods. And if you don't think that the book of Samuel, that would give you the introduction to David, comes in the book of Samuel, because the people got upset with what God was doing through Samuel in the 8th chapter and said, we want a king. We realized that God had already got upset with Eli, and God allowed this prophet to tell him what was going to happen to him. And then Hannah couldn't have a baby. Peninnah was running her mouth. God saw fit to let this barren woman have a child and put this child right there. And this child, Samuel, grew up to love the Lord. And when he grew up to love the Lord, God allowed him to be able to anoint David to be king. And so David got the opportunity to see God sparing him, even when he had the lion, even when it was the bear. And no matter what Saul did, he saw God as salvation. The people got a chance to see that God was doing things through David. It became a problem for him, but that's okay. He was on God's team. And so David, knowing this, having this kind of background, he was able to say, God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as goeth on stealing his trespasses. You can be old. You can be an old man. You can be one, even if in some other cultures you got some kind of, they call it a crown or the head. You might have something that's akin to a Nazarite vow. And as some commentators say, it may even refer to the goat demon, but I don't have to deal with that. There, I can deal with that in the next verse. The issue is God destroys his enemies. Why is that? Because the kingdom of God will rule on earth as it is in heaven. The real question is, will you? David knew that no matter what victory he has, it's of God. You say, but David messed up sometime. I'm not talking about when he messed up right now. I'm talking about when his mind was right. Then he says, the Lord. This is a beautiful thing for you to see here. The Lord, this little Lord, if you see the capital L and the small O-R-D, where here it says Adon. They use that for Adonai. This is the sovereign. Let that sink in. We might not use that word as much. This means the absolute ruler with all authority over everything, whose kingdom will be in this earth. This kingdom is in heaven. He rules without having to get permission from anybody that breathes, because they're just like dust in the bucket with all the nations. It says the Lord said, in other words, get your ears ready. I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depth of the sea. In other words, what we are saying is the sovereign one said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring again. You can talk about that land, Bashan, and you can find a specific area of geography in the world. And you can say, okay, this is in the region of Mount Hermon. But is that how the Bible just pictures that? I gave you a taste on it on last Saturday, and I'm going to quickly give you a taste again, and we're going to move until we finish our chapter, okay? Deuteronomy 3:1. Listen to when it talks about Bashan, which David would have known what God has done, and understand that we're dealing with not just a nation, not just a land, but we are dealing with something that which shows the kingdom of this world that God will fight against. 3:1, Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to the descendants of those that died in the wilderness. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, came up out against us, he and all his people at Edrei. And Yahweh said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thine hand, and thou shalt do unto him as thou did to Sion, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. So Yahweh our God delivered into our hands also the king of Bashan and his people, and we smote him, listen, till none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city. We took not from them 60 cities, 60 cities, all of the region of Argob, the kingdoms of Og of Bashan, the kingdom of God, fought against Og of Bashan. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, besides unwalled towns, a great many. And we utterly destroyed. This is where they use the word harim, just like Hermon. Etymologically, Those words can go together, but I'm going to show you in a minute. We utterly destroyed them, so as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, the women, the children of every city. In other words, what has happened is this is under the ban. This is what is under the ban. Harim, when God will have them destroy everything. Everything and everybody that represented the kingdom that was going on at that particular time, the kingdom of Og, the kingdom of the ungodly deities that were there. Notice verse 7. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves, and we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites, the land which was on this side of Jordan, from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the place that I read to you all about Saturday when I talked about demons. But listen to the ninth verse. Which Hermon the Zidonians call Syrian, and the Amorites call it Shinir. All the cities of the plain of Gilead and all of Bashan unto Salaka and Edrei, and the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giant, of the remnants of the Harafaim, the Rephaim, the ones that are talking about that had those spirits. The Rephaim, we talked about being the spirits that were of like the departed ones that had been intertwined with the spirit beings, what we call angels. And again, to a lot of people, that's not true. But look up your words. Look up what's going on. But they are giants. And God said, get rid of all of them. Why? There were other nations they didn't get rid of. There were other nations, they could make a league. They could make a treaty. They could come in and be with Israel, and they could serve. He said, kill these. Kill these. There's a reason. So he says, behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth thereof, after the cubit of a man. I want to tell you something about that in just a minute, because I want you to see what they would have known. Listen to this. I'm going to give you this little paragraph. It's not going to be long. This comes from The Unseen, a book by Dr. Michael Heiser. It is very well documented. I can read a lot of stuff to show you the documentation. You can just ask me for it later. But it just says, first, the most immediate link back to the Babylonian polemic is Og's bed. In Hebrew, or Eres, is dimensions 9 by 4 cubits, or precisely those of the cultic bed in the ziggurat called Etemenake, which is the ziggurat most archaeologists identify with the Tower of Babel referred to in the Bible. Ziggurats functions as temples and divine abodes. The unusually large bed at the Etemenake was housed in the house. It was housed in the house of the bed. It was the place where the god Marduk and his divine wife Zarpunatu met annually for ritual lovemaking. The purpose of this was for a divine blessing upon the land. Scholars have been struck by the precise correlation. It's not hard to conclude that with Genesis 6:1-4, as well as Deuteronomy 3, that those who put the finishing touches on the Old Testament during the exile in Babylon were connecting Marduk and Og in some kind of way. I could read more. I just want to be able to show that when it talks about Bashan in this 68th chapter, It's not just saying it's just the land. We've already seen that God loadeth up in the 19th verse, loadeth them with benefits, or bears their problem where the other people had to bear their God. He is the God of our salvation, as Rich brought out the other day in the singular, and to our God belongs the issues of death. I've already shown that David knew that he was fighting against the gods of the other people. I've already shown that what God has already done, he showed David that through his uprising, through his upbringing, and the people understood it was David. But there was one thing that happened in the first part of 1 Samuel that I didn't tell you. It showed even back in the beginning of Samuel, before David came on the scene and before Saul, we see on the scene, they captured the Ark of the Covenant, which was a representation of God, and the Philistine took it and put it in the house of their God. Didn't he do it, Ann? And God went there and kicked that God's tail in his own house. I remember reading that. I was a teenager. It was the funniest thing ever. The God is on the ground and the hand cut off. Then they put him up again. And I think the next time he's back on the ground with his head cut off. And their priest wouldn't even jump across, wouldn't even tread on the threshold anymore. And God fought against those people to show that he was the God of that land. Gave them emeralds in their rump or in their bottom. Gave them mice all over the land and plagued them. So how can we not see that the life of David and the things during the time of David, God was showing that I'm fighting against the gods of other nations? If I hadn't made my point yet, we can deal with it in discussion. Verse 21, God shall wound the head of his enemies, not just the humans. He shows that he crushes the demonic beings as well. And the hairy scalp of one that's still in his trespasses. You want to continually walk in your trespasses? Those that turn their way from God, God will deal with them. You can't just be arrogant and not turn from God. I mean, not turn back to God. What kind of person are you? You think God won't deal with you? You're fooling the truth not in you. This is what he says that he would do. And David is speaking for God. Not only is he speaking for God, but he's speaking about what the Lord Jesus would do. That one day that the Lord Jesus would look and tell Peter that the gates of hell will never prevail against my kingdom. And according to history, that was right there at Mount Hermon, where he talked about the gates of hell. Yeah, he did. Gary was talking to me about it the other day. But listen how sweet this is. I will bring my people from that. I will bring my people from being under the demons for the ungodly rule of those other kingdoms. I will bring my people from the sea. I will bring about a restoration. Then can you see David going past himself? That thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies. This is complete war. This is complete victory. It is so sweet. It is so delicious that I love it. Let me share something with you all. Because I mentioned last week, and I said, sometimes I don't want to read stuff. And Gary said, read it to us. Well, this is from a religious text from Ugarit. And I just want you to see how, in that world, this terminology, dipping your feet in blood, was extant during the time of David. This is the virgin Anat, A-N-A-T. Anat closed the door of the house. She met the divine assistance. Let me pull this over. I hate whenever, there we go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make my thing bigger. I hate when you have to slide something over and over again and you can't see the whole picture. So I'm going to stop that problem right now. Annette closed the door of the house and she met the divine assistance at the foot of the mountain. And lo, Annette fought in the valley. She battled between two towns. She smote the people of the seashore. She destroyed the men of the sunrise. Beneath her, like balls, were heads. Above her, like locusts, were palms, like grasshoppers, heaps, palms of warriors. She fixed heads to her back. she attached palms to her girdle. Her knees, she stepped in the blood of soldiers. Her thighs in the gore of the warriors. With the shaft, she drove out the old man. With the string of her bow, the townsfolk. And lo, Annette came to her house. The goddess went down to her palace. But she was not sated with her fighting in the valley, nor her battling between the towns. She set chairs for her warriors. She put tables for her armies, footstools for her heroes. Fiercely she fought and looked, and Annette battled and considered. Her liver shook with laughter. Her heart was filled with joy. The liver of Annette with triumph. And she stepped her knees in the blood of soldiers, her thighs in the gore of the warriors, until she was sated and fought in her house as she battled between the tables. From the house, the blood of the soldiers were wiped clean. Oil of peace were poured in a bowl. Virgin Annette washed her hands, her fingers, the beloved of the powerful one. She washed her hands of the blood of the warriors, her fingers with the gore of soldiers. Why'd you read that, Tim? I want you to see that what in the ancient world they knew that their gods or their demons that they follow, because the Bible said they're demons, they're not gods, they're demons, but they're Elohim. They are a participant in that realm. That they would know that this is a fight. Why else would the Rabshakeh say to Hezekiah's men, the gods of all these other places couldn't stand up against us. Won't y'all just give up? Because Yahweh ain't going to do anything. And Hezekiah took that letter and said, God, you're telling the truth. They have defeated all those other gods but you. You know how to read. And so instead of God going there, busting them down by sending the angel of the Lord, the Bible just says he just sent one angel. He killed 185,000 of their men that night. War is over. But I've read to you about Anak. I don't know about David and the rest of the guys going through the blood like that. I wouldn't be surprised. But let's see what the New Testament say about our Lord Jesus in his victory when he defeats his enemies. Now, we know, as we've been reading when we were in the book of the Revelation, that he had to deal with evil spirits, and he had to deal with what we call the locusts and all that kind of stuff. But listen to what John says in Revelation 19 and 10. I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that I do it not. I'm your fellow servant and of thy brethren and of the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed with fine linen, white and clean. They are part of that kingdom war. I hear myself. They are part. What do you mean they are? In other words, the kingdom of God is going to rule on earth as it is in heaven. Will you? They were following him. Listen to 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Nations will follow other gods. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. That winepress is talking about when you stomp grapes and the blood of the grapes come out, just like when we talk about your feet dipped in blood. This is the terminology that's being used. Total vanquishing, total taken over, total ruination of the enemies. And it says, and he have a vesture on his thigh and a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel sitting in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls of the air in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on it and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet had wrought miracles before him. Where do you think he getting these miracles from? He's not getting them from God. He's a false prophet. Before him, which deceived them that received the mark of the beast and cast them alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now someone say, Tim, this is symbolic. This is... There was total destruction. There was blood. There was gore. There was angels. Well, angels, there were people that represented the demons being destroyed in here. Now, tell me the symbol don't mean something. Don't play when it comes to the word of God. So we talking about the kingdom of God ruling on earth as it is in heaven. Look at how David puts it out. Lord, do what you do. Bring your people that your foot may be dipped in the blood of your enemies and the tongue of thy dogs the same. That's the picture of what happened to Ahab and Jezebel. They fought against God, and God allowed this to happen to them. 1 Kings 22 and 38, you can write that down, because those that are in this assembly should know about that happening with Jezebel. They should know about what happened with her wicked husband, Ahab. And then there's another one, 2 Kings 9, 35 through 37. Okay? That's where it says she's going to be killed. I didn't want to read. I want to expedite some time. And it says, they'll be good enough to be eaten like dog food. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, in the sanctuary. That's what Rahab understood. She had heard about the God of the Israelites. And as amazingly so, before we even started tonight, there was a time when the God of the Israelites meant something. And they had the Ark of the Covenant. They were jumping up and down and happy. The Philistines got scared. But I believe that they knew that God had left the children of Israel. And that man, whoever he was, said, quit you like men and get up and fight. Because the children of God were in their trespasses. God let them be destroyed. But all of that still we see was a spiritual battle, because they took their ark and put it in the house of Dagon. But the Lord has seen the goings, even the goings of my God in the sanctuary. This is the place that's set apart for him. This is the place where he dwells. It says the singers went before playing on their, and the players on their instrument followed thereafter. What is that showing? This is showing that there's a procession going on. There's joy going on. This is what they would do in the ancient world. When you win a battle, you go through and you sing and you dance. And then it says, and among them were the damsels playing timbrels. And then notice what he says. Bless ye God in the congregations. Even the sovereign from the fountain of Israel. Bless God's name for what he's done. He's given victory. We got songs to sing just like when they came out of Egypt. And then he showed this is for his people, Benjamin and Judah and their council. In other words, the people that come together to make up those that stayed in the southern part. And then we see, okay, from the sea, those that have been gathered, look at Zebulun, Naphtali, God has commanded strength. Now let this sink in your mind. Thy God has commanded strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you have wrought for us. If you don't understand the terminology here, God gives the ability to do things. And when God gives the ability to do things, we need to do it. Let's get real clear. Notice this and apply it to Numbers 14 when God told them to go in and take the land, and they said, we can't. Thy God has commanded strength. Go do what I say. You ain't got to see it. Abraham, go get your wife pregnant. You ain't got to see it. Just do what I say, Sarah. Let him get you pregnant. You ain't got to. You ain't got to see it. Go take the land of Canaan. Thy God has commanded strength. Now, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought. And Joshua and Caleb saw it. He said, they've been given to us already. They bred for us. And everybody else said, God ain't strengthened us. God ain't done nothing. Y'all need to shut. We're going to be able to stone you all. And then he says, because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Because of your presence. Because of your presence, God. Because of your name. Because you have taught people your way. Because you rule in the hearts of men and you have shown you can defeat the other gods. They bring you presents just like the queen of Sheba. Just like Hiram. Just like the king of Tyre. They bring you presents. Well, guess what? When the Lord Jesus Christ rules and he takes captivity captives and bring gifts to men and people will be coming in to worship God through us. We supposed to be his temple. We supposed to be ruling with him. We supposed to be judging. The kingdom of God is ruling. Are we? Or do we just say, thy kingdom come. That we be done on our faces. Give us a stay out there. Amen. Is that just something that you can say real fast? And well, I said my prayer. Verse 30. Rebuke the company of spearmen. Rebuke them. Let me read that in NASB for you in verse 30. Open up NASB. Don't take a long time. Because sometime whenever I read it in another place, you get a different picture. Rebuke the beast in the reeds and the bulls with the calves of the people, trampling under the foot pieces of silver. He has scattered the people. Do you understand that when Jesus was dying, I think you can also definitely read about it in the 22nd Psalm, he called those people the bulls of Bashan, where the bulls were after him. Rebuke the beast in the reeds and the bulls with the calves of the people. Rebuke the evil people. Rebuke those that want to come against you and call them submit. Call them to bow down and bring you presents. Pieces of silver. Scatter the people. Scatter all the people that delight in war. Get them away from us. Defeat and get them away. And then he says, princes shall come out of Egypt. What? The place where they have all their God, princes, their leaders will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hand unto God. Sing ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. Do you hear Matthew 5 and 14 in that? In 16? Do you hear a little bit? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you think that they see your good works because it's just you? Do you think it's just you that they're seeing? Then you got it all wrong. They're supposed to be seeing Christ in you, the hope of glory. They're supposed to be seeing God's ways in you so that they can learn God's ways and learn his wisdom. And when they see that, they're supposed to be able to go from just being men that see your good works and become those that glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Look at it here. That's what the Lord Jesus did. Stone that the builder rejected, the one that was despised and rejected, the one that was crucified, the one that you didn't want, the one that God raised back up anyway and anointed and set him at the right hand, and he gave gifts to men when he plundered the demons, the principalities and powers, and set forth the Spirit of God to work in us. And notice what he says here in this Old Testament Melu. People with other gods, Egypt was named in particular, Ethiopia was stretched out her hand that was strange from the commonwealth of Israel. But when we look at what's going on, he says, sing to God, ye kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to the Lord, Selah, to the sovereign, That's that Adonai again. Then, the identification. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Remember when they saw him in the 24th chapter of Exodus? Remember when Ezekiel saw him? He that rides upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Not Baal riding. This is God. Lo, this is so powerful. He does send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Now, if you forget the voice of the Lord, you may have to go back on your own time and read Psalm 29. And watch how the voice of the Lord can do it. Break trees, cedar trees, make pregnant deer drop their babies, and make trees skip. Watch how the voice of the Lord do Mount Sinai. He says, it just says he sends out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength to the Lord. That's important. Ascribe ye strength not to your problem. David, don't ascribe strength to Goliath. David, don't ascribe strength that you have messed up with not Delilah, that was Samson, that you have messed up with Bathsheba. You better go, you better call on God. You better call on God while Nathan's in here. You better call. Ain't nobody else got enough strength to take God's hand off of you. Ascribe to the Lord strength to forgive you when you're messed up. Ascribe to the Lord strength over your battles. Ascribe to the Lord strength over your problem and your sickness. Ascribe to the Lord strength and understand that's who he is and ask him to strengthen us. Ascribe him strength to the Lord and his excellency over Israel. What do you mean excellence? All the other gods, they claim excellency. Your state claim excellency. People claim, we claim excellency for ourselves. Ascribe all that strength to the Lord and his excellency over Israel. Israel is supposed to represent his kingdom. And his strength is in the clouds. Huh? His strength is in the clouds. He controls all of this. On earth as it is in heaven. And God, oh God, he says, thou art terrible. In other words, awesome. Out of thy holy places, Lord, your throne is in heaven. You are awesome. Out of your holy places, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. He rules on earth as it is in heaven, and he gives strength to his people to rule with him. Blessed be God. Putting us on the winning team. Causing us not to just be spectators. Some of us might be out there on the field. Some of us might be the doctor. Some of us might be water boys. But all of us are participating in what's going on. We're participating in the war. We're participating in the mop up of this world. We're participating in the teaching. We're participating even in the suffering so that God can get the glory. We're participating in learning his word and making his word known as a light in the world. We ascribe to him strength. We ask him to strengthen us so that we can do his will. Psalm 68 is showing that God is ruling on earth as it is in heaven over all the demons, over all the angelic, what we call beings. And if you think that I'm wrong, you go back and read Job chapter 1, 2, and 3, and you find that when the Satan came and he wants to be able to do something to Job, he had to get permission. His hands are tied. They can only do what God allows. And God allows us to participate in the fighting against him, in the fighting for people's minds to be subject to his will. The kingdom of God is ruling on earth as it is in heaven. Are we? We want to be a part of it. Or do we just like what we call worship? Father, thank you for your magnificent and wonderful word. Thank you for showing us that this is a real battle. The battle that David had, we can see the physical, but often we don't see the spiritual battle behind. But in that world, they knew. Samuel got to see you. Saul had gotten a new heart and a new spirit. David was anointed with your spirit and got to see. Many times you coming through the, when you come through the top of the trees. I don't even know what all that David got to see of you. But they knew this battle of life was more than just flesh and blood. And it's him being a forerunner to your son, Jesus the Christ. He knew the demons were there. When he met the Satan in the wilderness, he let him know that I'm with you, Father. I'm with you. Satan, I'm not with you. I'm your enemy. I'm going to fight you. And I'm going to win. And I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to win. And I'm going to give my people power to go and bring the other sheep to other nations. And I'm going to give them power to go out into all the world and accomplish kingdom work. And when I've done all that I'm going to do, and they've done all that I have them to do, and everything is under my feet, I'm going to give the kingdom back to my Father. I hope we have that kind of confidence. Father, help us. Help us to see as your son saw. Help us to see what David saw. Help us to understand that the battle is bigger than preference. Father, go with us and stand by us. You have all strength. You have power. I'm ascribing it to you. Grant us strength and power to do your will. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. I'll now open our class for discussion. If there's any discussion to be had tonight, we're now open for discussion. It would help if I unmute. Anyone want to join in the discussion tonight? I don't think I have everybody muted, do I, Andrina?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Now, you all know we don't have to have discussion. We can just skip it and go into Saturday to Psalm 69.
It was good.
Thank you, sir. I'm not even going to ask you why, because I have love in my heart.
I think I'm echo. We just have to remember this.
Don't know, his phone just disappeared. But did you have anything entering the his phone? Seemed like it died.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. We were not hearing you anymore.
I feel like I'm echoing. I hear it playing back or whatever in my phone.
You might just have to cover your ear and put the mouth part to your mouth and talk so you won't have to hear yourself, because I didn't hear the echo.
I don't have anything to add. I enjoyed it. It was very encouraging. I think we have to see, you know, this spiritual battle and remember who our God is and who we are supposed to be in him. It was really good.
Well, thank you.
I don't remember. I think you. Well, I said I didn't have anything to say, but you were reading. Did you say out of the Ugarit text? I don't remember this lady. What was that you were reading?
I was reading about Anat.
And that was a female, right?
Yes. No, that's not in that same realm. It's in some of the books from the East.
The Ugarit.
Yeah, Ugarit. Some of the things that they would be involved in. And they would be trying to fight against the God of heaven. Now, in your book, Demons and Deities, that deal with the demons and deities of the Bible, you'll see a lot of these gods and how people at that time looked at those things. It's kind of fascinating because, you know, I had the tendency when I was younger to think they ain't real demons, they ain't real gods, they just statues. But you start looking and says, this is what God said. He's going to defeat these gods or Elohim. It's called Religious Text from Ugarit, second edition.
Mm-hmm.
Author Wyatt Nicholas. You should have that book.
But my question was, were you reading about a goddess?
Yes.
Okay.
They call her Virgin Anat.
Okay.
But I hope it wasn't that I was just looking like, okay, I read something, I want to read it. I wanted to at least show that in this culture that this is how the people, they saw things as their gods doing stuff. And the people that really followed God really well, they saw it that way too. And if somebody tell me they didn't, I'm going to tell them you're a damnable liar, depending on how I feel. Because when God told Jeremiah something, he knew that God is the one put me over these people. When he told Micah, when he told Isaiah, when he told Samuel, when he told Ehud, they knew that they were coming on the behalf of the spiritual being, the God of the universe. It wasn't their preference. So automatically that puts it in the spiritual realm. But then God said, don't go over there and learn about their gods. Moses told them they got gods. And they have powers that have been allocated to them. And God is going to use you to deal with these beings in that kingdom. Because other than that, he could just smite them. No problem. But I'm going to let you all. I gave this world to you. Go fight. Fight. I'm going to give you what you need to win. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
That's just like you sending Josiah out there, three pit bulls in the yard. And you got some kind of remote that you can put inside of Josiah. And he gonna be super fast, super strong, got the ability to jump high and do all of that. And they say, but daddy, I'm scared. Josiah, I'm not gonna let anything harm you. And Josiah said, well, I'm gonna go, but I'm scared. And he goes out there and you do that little remote. And all of a sudden he go out there and yell one time and all the puppies bat under his feet. He don't even have to hurt them. What happened? Josiah, when I did that button, I made electricity shoot out of you, and it was just like tasing those dogs, and they couldn't take it. But I didn't know that's what you were going to do. That's what you, trust me, I told you, you would win. I got the power, but I'm letting you do it. I want those dogs to look at you and understand that you got what you need. When it comes to us, God wants the world to know that we got what we need, but it comes from him. And every time it seems like somebody that they take what God give and make themselves shine and glisten, God has to bring them down. Have a
I'm gonna kick
my toe Ann one time and see if you can identify with that. Have you ever seen a man just beat up a woman, a little woman, a big old man, and just wish that you could be inside of her body? You know, I just wish I could just be inside of her body. Why he doing that? I would be loved to just be able to knock him out for her. Well, that's what I believe God does for us. This stuff get big and God is coming in and like Samson. I'm going to just shake myself. Because it ain't like Samson said, ain't all of this. Ain't all of this. Anyway, might not be the best illustration, but I can just tell you this. Long as God does it, you might not be able to illustrate or say it well, but you sure will know when it's him and it's not you. Is there anyone else? I say what, Andrina?
You say that somewhere.
That's because I'm a nice person.
If there's, you can see God wanting the hearts and the minds of the people here. It really goes against what people say about the Old Testament, in the sense that God did not want to dwell in the people. Ascribe ye strength unto God. That's trusting in him. And the more faithful you are to him, then the more he can use you. And you might be surprised, but you shouldn't be, because of he's told you. But when I was looking at in the King James, it says, thou art terrible out of the holy places. And it's plural. And then it says, give strength and power to his people. But then this is a parallel Bible that I'm looking in. And then the other version is New International, and it says, you are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. And then it says, you give power to and strength to his people. And it makes me think of, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, where I am, you'll be also the dwelling places. And I used to think, like, is it really like big mansions and stuff? And like your place, but if you know, we refer to John 17, you know, being in him as Christ is in God and so forth. And as you see, he wants that faith and trust that will cause one to really be obedient. And it's just really interesting. But to trust, interesting is not the best word. I don't really have a good word right now. He's faithful. He's faithful to what he's always saying. to just trust in him.
Well, I've enjoyed the discussion, and if the Lord's will, let's get together on Psalm 69 on Saturday, and you all have a great evening. And grace and peace be to you all.